Lord showed me something a few days ago. Actually, it's been a few weeks now, but we just hadn't had time to get with it. This is actually the message I was supposed to have preached New Year's Day, and we've been now 3 weeks on it, trying to get to the thought. I haven't even got to the thought yet, but I'm pretty sure we're going to make it there today. If I don't try not to hold you too long, my wife's in Power Hour. She has told me that every second Sunday of the month when they have Power Hour, for some reason, I preach an hour and a half, and she's got to watch the kids for an hour and a half. So I told her an hour and 29 minutes. I'm cutting it short. That's just all there is to it. So we're going to try not to hold you too long here today. But the Lord is taking this church on a journey, on a journey. It's an incredible journey. And what we're going to realize is that we've been on this journey for 2 years already. And God is bringing us into the third year of this journey in His Word. But this year, the testimonies we heard a couple of wrapped all up in that is going to be revival. People being saved and delivered, marriages being healed, children being delivered off of drugs, families being put back together, and great miracles taking place. We give God praise and honor and glory. He's already doing it. He's going to continue to do it. Book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 1. The former trustees have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both, everybody say, to do and teach. Verse number 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, the Holy Ghost had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. I like that. Showed himself alive after his passion. How? By infallible proofs, or by works that he did, miracles and healings and deliverances, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized. Together they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you, everybody say, that's me. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Tell your neighbor, the church is a church of action. Tell somebody else, the church is a church of action. Let's put our Bibles down. Let's talk to the Lord for a moment. Father, touch my mind, my heart. I need you today. Lord, flow. Let your word flow out of your servant. Lord, touch everybody in this place today. Stir us up, God. Cause us to become active in the kingdom of God, that our faith might be released and the power of God might be demonstrated and souls might be delivered. We ask it in the mighty name of the Lord. And the Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. Does anybody have the victory? Then shout with a voice of triumph. Shout with a voice of triumph. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. My Lord, I feel victory in the house. Tell your neighbor, there's victory in the house. You may be seated. Just a little tiny review here today that we might catch some of, we came from and where we are and where we're going in the Word of God. The last few services, the Lord has ministered to us a couple Sundays ago, then Wednesday night, and thank you, precious Sister Anderson, with the testimony. I encourage you to come on Wednesdays. It's when Pastor is able to get a little deeper into the Word of God. The core of the church ought to be here. I understand work. I understand being tired, but just do it and see what happens. See how the Lord will rejuvenate you when you step into the house of God. I've worked all day. I understand. I worked all day too. A few years ago, and Hannah was about 7 or 8 years old, and Hannah looked at me and she said, "Daddy, where you going?" I said, "I'm going to work." And with this horrified expression on her face and her eyes got big, she said, "You got a job?" I said, "Yeah, baby, I got a job. It's 7 days a week and 24 hours a day." And so I understand being tired, but I'm telling you, God will touch you. He'll bless you. He'll strengthen you. The Word of God will help you. And so Acts 1:1, we read here today, "The former trespasses have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach." The book of Acts is a very unique book, and we talked a couple of days ago about how unique the name of the book of Acts is. When you look into the Word of the Lord, you find out that the majority of all of the books, nearly 90%, they're either named after an individual that wrote them, or they are named after the individual they are written to, or the city or people to whom they are written to. But there are a few exceptions, one of them being Genesis, which of course is the book of beginnings, and the name Genesis meaning beginnings. The book of Exodus, which talked about the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And there are other books. But in the New Testament, the book of Acts is the only book there that deals with the action rather than a book being written to or from an individual besides the book of Revelations. I think that it's incredible that God calls this book the book of Acts. I think he wants to know from the very beginning that the church is not a church that is in stalemate. It is not a church that stands still. It's not a body that is in limbo. But when you look at the church, you will always see a body that is in action, doing something, going somewhere, touching somebody, releasing the power and the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. And I want the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches to be that kind of a church, not a church that goes home after service and that's the only thing you ever hear about or know about concerning Jesus Christ, but a church that understands that when we walk out those doors, it's actually just begun. Now we become the church that prays, the church that witnesses, the church that reaches, the church that blesses, the church that helps, the church that has compassion, the church that spreads the gospel, the church that carries the name of Jesus, the church that prays and heals, the church that helps deliver. Come on, somebody. We need to be that kind of church. Tell your neighbor, we're a church of action. We are a church of action. It is what the Lord requires out of us. Our theme this year, the 2014 year of the Lord, is the relationship between faith and works. James chapter 2 and verse number 26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith with works is dead
also. Now that's a powerful verse, and I need to understand it, because it's my faith that keeps me going. It's my faith that got me into the church. It's my faith that lets me know that God is my helper and I can make it to the end. And if the Bible says without works my faith is dead, then I need to understand the relationship between faith and works, because I don't want my faith to die. I want my faith to be alive. I want it to be powerful. I want it to be able to move mountains. Come on, somebody. I'm not just a Christian. I'm not just a churchgoer. I'm not just somebody that attends an assembly. I am a child of God, bought by the blood. He is my Father. I am His Son. And my faith means everything. You ought to feel that way. Our faith means everything. We learned that Abraham, our father, was justified by works. We learned that Rahab was saved and justified by works. Now, before I go any further, let me make this very plain. Because if you think this preacher believes that you can work your way into heaven, then you are mistaken. You see, works without faith is self-righteousness. But faith without works is dead. Somehow, we got to find the path between the two. There is a relationship, and the relationship that James is talking about concerning works and faith is different than the relationship that Paul the Apostle talks about concerning works and faith. Romans, Ephesians, Galatians, and many other books the Apostle Paul wrote, he talks about the Jews trying to work their way into heaven through the law. And Paul makes it very clear in Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. He goes on in another verse to say, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, you can't be good enough. You can't do enough. You can't pay enough. There's nothing you can do to get in heaven. The only way you make it there is by the blood of Jesus Christ. So I want to make that very plain. I want us to understand that. But I also want you to understand this. I can have faith that Jesus forgives sins, but if I don't do the work of repentance, my faith is dead. I can have faith that my sins are remitted through baptism because the Bible teaches me that. But if I don't get up and do the work of baptism, my faith is dead. I can have faith that God is a healer, but if I don't lay hands and speak the name of Jesus, do the work of prayer, then my faith is dead. You see, you can believe that God is the Messiah and God is the Savior and God is the Creator, but if you don't get up and come to Him and give your life to Him, your faith is dead. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. What you will learn in the Word of God is that faith is always proven by works. And only works in faith can bring results. So you can believe God all you want, but until you act upon that faith, which according to the Word of God is what actually shows you had faith anyway. Because I know too many people, including myself, who proclaim certain things, but when the time comes to step out on it, we're too chicken. You know what that really means? I really never had the faith.
I just professed it with my mouth, Brother Wilson. But when it came time to put some action into it, I said, well, I don't really know. I'm not really sure. Yeah, what you're finding out is you really didn't have the faith. You see, it's easy to talk the talk. But, honey, sometimes you got to walk the walk.
Lord, I'm not going to get there again today. James said, what doth it profit? What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? Hebrews 11 and 1, we ran through this, and I'm going to try to just go ahead and run through this. Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance. Everybody say substance. Things hoped for, the evidence. Everybody say evidence. Of things seen. So faith is substance and evidence according to Hebrews. Substance means to validate or to agree with wholeheartedly. Substance means that I absolutely, truly, 100% agree and believe in what I'm reading, hearing, and seeing. I believe there's one God. I believe He came in the flesh and died on the cross. I believe He is my Savior. I believe these things. They're solid. It is the substance of my faith. But there is an evidence of the faith. The evidence part of the faith is the demonstration. That's what that word means. So not only do I believe, I must demonstrate that I believe. Otherwise, I really don't believe. Okay, all right, here we go. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis and look into the Word of God. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Hebrews tells us that. But when you go back to Genesis, what does it say? And God. Okay, homework, read Genesis. You go back to Genesis 1 and 1, or wherever it was. In the beginning was God. God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says there was a void and all that good stuff. God said, hey, I need some light. And he believed in himself that he could do it. Searched the heavens, there was nobody else. So he swore on himself. He trusted in himself. He covenanted with himself. But until he opened up his mouth and said, let there be light. Then the Bible says there was light. Oh, yeah, we love Abel. Abel's a man of faith. Listen, God accepted Abel. Why? Because Abel didn't only believe in God. The Bible says Abel offered. Thank you. One Bible studier over there. Watch this. We love Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated. Honey, I'm going to tell you why. It tells us in Genesis, because Enoch walked with God. He didn't just have faith. He had works with his faith. Look at Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, yes, yet moved with fear, prepared an ark. Noah could have believed that God was going to pour the rain down. Noah could have believed that God was the Savior. Noah could have believed that God was going to save him. But until Noah got up and built an ark, Noah had to put works with his faith. When he did, it saved him and his family. And James said, can a man have faith without works? Can faith alone save him? I say to you, no. You will drown, Noah, with faith alone. Whew. Like I said, I know I'm preaching against one of the biggest demons on planet Earth right now. I'm preaching against theology that has been shoved down your throat by people who call themselves believers, who have been deceived demonically by the confusion and deception of the devil, that has raised an entire generation of Christians who have been taught all you have to do is believe. That's what we're taught, Sean. Great teaching today, by the way. That's what we're taught. That's what the whole religious world is taught. All you have to do
is belief. But James says faith alone is dead. And it can't save you. What is he really saying? He's saying you don't even have faith. You can pronounce your belief all you want, but the way you know you have faith and the way your faith comes alive, without works, faith is dead. The way your faith comes alive is when you act upon what you say that you believe in. Clap your hands to the Lord. Give preacher a little help. By faith, Moses realized he didn't belong in Egypt, but he could have believed that all he wanted. Until he stepped out, that's when everybody was able to see. Hebrews 11 and 30 tells us that, okay, walls of Jericho fell. We're going to continue. So let's sum up the last 2 years. It took me 20 minutes to sum up last week's sermon. Imagine what it's going to take me to sum up the last 2 years. Just kidding. Year 2013, God started this church on a journey. A journey I didn't even realize we were walking on. Didn't really reveal it to me till just recently. However, 2 years ago, he laid in my heart. He said, I want a year of intimacy with my church. And we began to preach to this church. Every month we had a theme. Intimacy in prayer in January. Intimacy in the word, February. Intimacy in giving, March. Intimacy in commitment, April. Intimacy in fasting in May. Intimacy in God and family in June. Intimacy in worship in July. Intimacy in choice, August. Intimacy in joy, September. Intimacy in the name, October. Intimacy in Thanksgiving in November. We went through a year of becoming intimate with God in these areas of our life. Then the Lord spoke to me about 2013. He said, now that you're intimate, I want you to understand that once you become intimate with me, you can begin to experience the power. So God started us on another journey. And we preached power in prayer, January, power in the word, February, power in giving, March, power in commitment, April, power in fasting, May, power in God and family, June, power in worship, July, power in choice, August, power in joy, September, power in the name, October, and power in thanks in November. And we wrapped it all up in both years in the month of December. And then the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to do a year on works. I want you to talk about the church going into action, the work of prayer, the work of giving, the work of commitment, the work of all, the work of family, the work, the work, the work, the work. And I looked at that, and at this point, God had not revealed it. So I started working, preparing for the year of 2014. And while I was preparing, I ran across something and God showed me. Now it's simple, it's not profound, so I'm not about to blow you out of your seat or nothing. But what's powerful about it is that the Lord showed me the journey that he was taking us on, and that we weren't just nonchalantly preaching on intimacy. He didn't just carelessly or haphazardly get us to talk about power and then go launch into the works in 2014. But there is an order in the word of God. It's intimacy, it's power, then it's work. In Luke chapter 4 in verse number 1, Jesus gives us an example. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Everybody say intimate. 40 days and 40 nights he was in the wilderness with God. I know the devil was there, but I got news for you. The devil's going to go everywhere as you go to. In fact, the devil came to church with you today. Y'all don't even like to hear that. You think the devil's so scared he's not here? Are you kidding me? He's got most of us so bound and confused, we don't even know he exists.
We couldn't recognize him if he slapped us in the face. Okay, I lost you. You're so, I know, I'm the only one that's not spiritual, but I'm working on it, so pray for Pastor to try to figure all of this out. Yeah, he shows up. He goes everywhere as you go, but I don't pay attention to him. I didn't come to church to pay attention to him. And we might even say, well, I don't either. Well, I don't know about that. He already has distracted you about 13 times in this service alone. Oh, I can't believe she wore that. Boy, I'm getting off subject for a moment. I can't believe she wore that. Here we are.
I love you, Jesus.
And there you are. I can't believe she wore that. Did you hear what he did? Did you hear what he said? Did you hear where they went? He distracts you all service long. You need to learn to ignore that devil and get focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be amazed what you'll get out of service. The Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness. He was there for 40 days getting intimate with the Lord God Almighty, his Father. He was about to start his journey as God in the flesh, and he needed some intimacy. But it didn't stop there. Verse number 14, the Bible says, and Jesus, when he came out of the wilderness after the battle with the devil and all that good stuff, in verse 14, and Jesus, he went in how? Full of the Holy Ghost, led of the Spirit, intimate with God. But Jesus returned in the power. Because when you get intimate with God, when you're hidden in that closet of prayer and there's nobody there but you and the God that you serve, maybe the devil's hanging around, but you don't care. It's you and God. I'm getting intimate. I'm loving him. When you get up out of that prayer, you can step out of that door in the power of God. But here we are, church. This is our problem. We get intimate, we get power, and we never do anything with it. We never go to work. I want you to stand up and give me a dance right here, just like Tyler would. That's Tyler. God's going to bless you, son. Holy Ghost told me to tell you that. We get intimate. Watch me. Better than that, watch the word. He goes, he's led. He gets in the spirit. He gets intimate with God. He comes out of the wilderness. And the Bible says he comes out in the power of God. We spend a year in intimacy. We spend a year in power. Look at verse number 16, two verses later. And he came, what did he do? He comes out, he's in the power, but he's on a mission. He don't go back home to mama. Ask mama to cook him some pancakes with banana and strawberry shortcake on the side with nice homegrown goat milk and good old squeezed out of the beehive honey. No, he's on a mission. He's been intimate with God. Now he has the power of God in him. And the Bible says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up for to read. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He said, I've been in the wilderness. I got
got intimate. I got the power. Now what, Jesus? Now that you're intimate, now that you have the power, what, Jesus? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to what? To preach. Everybody say, preach. Preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to do what? Heal. Come on. Heal the brokenhearted. To preach. Come on. Deliverance to the captives. And recovery of the sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book, gave it back to the priest, and everybody's eyes were set on him, but not for long. I'll tell you why. He didn't stay there long. Jesus went to church, but Jesus understood the work is not done in the sanctuary. The work is done when you leave the house of God. See, we come here to renew our intimacy. And when we renew our intimacy, our power is renewed. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You come to the house of God, clap your hands to the Lord. We come to the house of God. We renew our intimacy in the Lord. We're touched of God. We're drawn back close. We begin to weep. I love you, Lord. He begins to talk to us about prayer and consecration and dedication and getting closer to him. And we say, Lord, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. And we become intimate. Then we begin to feel the power of God. Brother Fuller, and we begin to shout and dance. And power of God is on us. Then God begins to deal with us about things to do. Because you see, after intimacy and after power, it comes to work. Because the intimacy and the power are useless if you don't go to work. Oh, you're not getting this. We're getting constantly filled and constantly blessed and constantly empowered, but we're not doing anything with it. God wants us to step out of this arena and go out into a world that is lost. Open up your mouth. Let the power of God flow. Whew. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to go to work. We go to work so that our faith might produce results. We're overwhelmed with faith. The apostolic church is the most powerful church in the world. We are the only assembly left. I'm not talking about these local people. I'm talking about the apostolic church. That still believes there's only one God. Everybody else believes there's three. Now they say they believe in one. I can't spend an eternity on this. But I got news for you, honey. You can't have three separate people co-equal in power with their own personalities and their identities. Everything about them is separate, and the only thing that makes these three co-eternal, powerful, almighty, all-knowing gods, all three of them who happen to be first and last, talk about a tie. They all showed up at the same time. Hey! Their first argument was who was first. I guess finally they all decided they got there together. I know I'm being sarcastic. God forgive me. I'm just so sick and tired of this false doctrine that has captivated the Christian world. You know, we believe in a God that came forth out of the Jews And anything more than one to the Jews will tell you right away you are hell bound because you are worship, you are an idolater. You've got more than one God. You say, I only believe in one. Then why is it when you get on your knees, you have to take your time to figure out which one of those up there you're going to pray to? Now, I know I'm hitting some of you between the eyes, but you need to hear truth. This might be the last time you ever hear a man that preaches truth. But I'll stand in front of Jesus Christ with you, by the way, who is God. Yeah, God sent his son. Son wasn't a separate deity or a separate person. It was the flesh of God. 1 Timothy 3:16. God manifested in the flesh. That's what the sonship was. It was God created him a body so that he could walk amongst men. And when Jesus completed his work, God hung that body on the cross. The blood was shed. And then the Bible tells us in Colossians, it pleased the Father that the fullness of the Godhead bodily would dwell in Jesus Christ. Everything that is God, everything that ever will be God, is in Jesus. He is the first. He is the last. He is the Almighty. He is the beginning. He is the ending. He is the Lamb of the... Oh yeah. He's the rose. Oh yeah. He's the star. Oh yeah. He's it all, honey. I said he's all. Tell your neighbor, water break. No wonder I can't get to my message. I got to stop and beat devils up on the way. Jesus taught the relationship of faith and works. Look at John chapter 10 and verse number 23. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said to him, how long do you make us doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Now watch the way Jesus answers this. Verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. Now the rest of this verse is going to reveal how he told them. See, they wanted him to get up and say, I am the Christ. That's what they wanted. But Jesus knew that they would not believe that. So he gave them something more powerful than words. He gave them the only thing that can substantiate their faith and make it real. He said, I told you, and you believed not. Here it is. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Not just my words, my works. Because my words are useless. My faith is useless if I don't back it up with works. You see, you can claim, let's make it simple. You can claim to be a Christian all day long. And I might hurt some of your feelings here, but, you know, I love you, Jesus loves you, and get over it. So, you can say, I believe in Christ, but when you reach in your pocket and you pull out your cigarette, or you reach in your bigger pocket and you pull out your liquor,
I'll clarify what I'm saying. I know I sound very mean right now. And you reach into your other pocket, maybe, and you pull out your Taiwan Colombian sprinkled with hash joint. It's what we called them when I was young, girl. You can profess to be Christ Christian all you want, but even the worst of heathens know that those things do not go with Christianity. Now, don't misunderstand, Pastor. I know we have new converts. And if you're still battling in some areas, come down, I'll lay hands on you, and I'll say, God, deliver him or kill him. I bet you walk out delivered. Because you're still battling with it because you have chosen not to give it up. Okay. Wow, Lord, how did this happen? I promise you, I have a sermon. I studied. I'm not okay. And so we can make it simple that we can say words, but if our actions don't back up those words, nobody's going to believe who you are. So Jesus said, I tell you what, I won't waste time telling you by words. I'll just show you by my actions. How did James say it? Show me your faith without your works. James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, I'm not just going to open up my mouth and profess all kinds of stuff to you. How about if I just live the way God has ordained me to live? How about I act the way God has ordained me to act? How about I do what God has ordained us to do? Clap your hands to the Lord and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Well, we'll find out next Sunday. Look what he says in John chapter 10, verse 37. Just one verse later, two verses later. So in verse 25, he says, Jesus answered them and said, I told you, and you believe me not. How'd you do that, Lord? The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 37. Look at this. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Folks, you have no idea how powerful that is. Jesus Christ just told the world that if you're not doing the works of a Christian, you are a liar. And that if you claim to be a Christian and if you're not doing the works of a Christian, he told the heathen, do not believe them. If they are truly of the faith, they will have works. Come on, I know this hurts, but come on. Rejoice anyway. Rejoice anyway. That's powerful. He said, if I don't do the works, don't believe a word I say. Because my faith is backed up by what I do. Not what I say. But this is where the church is today. This is us. We are asking the world to believe in us. We're asking our co-workers, Brother Mackey, well, yours are all saved. Trying to find someone that's working with the lost. Who works with the lost? Sister Luma. She's surrounded by heathens. I'm not talking about at home, Brother Luma. Surrounded by heathens. And Sister Luma, You and I are asking. Most of my coworkers are saved. Not all of them, but most of them. Working on Brother Sapp and my wife. My little girl Hannah, she's perfect. We're asking our coworkers, believe in what I am saying. Not only believe in the Jesus that I serve, but we are even going further than that. We're saying to them, but we hold a truth that you need. And they are listening, but they are smart enough to never believe until they see. Because even the heathen know only works can give life to your faith. That's what James said. He said, faith is dead without works. I'm not talking about working your way into heaven. We already took care of that. I'm talking about now that you are in the church and you are believing and walking with God and you have the faith, it is time to go to work, because that's the only way God can demonstrate his power, is through your actions. Do you realize that not one man has been saved on planet Earth without another man preaching to him? From the beginning of time, but especially in the New Testament, not one person has ever been healed. When somebody needed healing, Cornelius prayed, God sent a man. Man by the pool of Bethesda, God came as a man. Everywhere you look in the Word of God, everybody ever healed, everybody ever delivered, everybody ever set free. It was always when a man, or because of 2000, our new year, or woman who touched, healed, delivered, or reached out. Because when you do that, the power of God is released. Whew. Now I know why I'm going to have to preach this for a year. Tell your neighbors, time to go to work. Don't worry, I'll jazz it up enough you won't even know I'm preaching it. This is where the church is today. This apostolic assembly could fill this building. By the end of this year, people could be standing room only if everyone in this building went to work. I know what you believe. I preach it to you. I trust you're intimate in God. I know you have the intimacy with him. And because you have the intimacy with him, you have the power with him. That's automatic. And you shall be endued with power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you become intimate with the Father, the power of God is in you. Through the Holy Ghost. But that power is not released until you and I go forth. And the moment we go into action, and there are many forms of action, but the moment we go into action, the power of God is released out of us, and healings take place, and people are delivered, and kids come back to God, marriages get put back together. When we begin to take action. That's my beautiful wife walking back there up against the wall. She's been in power hour all day. How am I doing so far, baby? Are y'all ready for me to quit? You are? Okay. That's my beautiful wife back there. Listen. Amen to that. Of course, she's married to one good-looking man. I'm telling you that right now. Anyhow, so that's my beautiful wife. And they got this old joke, right? This old joke says,
the wife comes up to the husband 10 years after marriage and says, "Honey, why don't you ever tell me that you love me?" And the husband looks at her and says, "I told you when we got married I loved you. And if things change, I'll let you know." Do you think that works? When I tell you that I tell that woman that I love her 25 times a day, I am not exaggerating. Yeah, my baby. Now, a lot of them comes after the hit. Reminders. I don't only tell her I love her. I don't walk by her without touching her. I learned that the hard way, too. But if I go by my baby, and I'm not going to show you everywhere as a toucher, but most of the time, it's just right here on the shoulder. I just give that little gentle touch that says, "I love you, baby." That's works. How long will she believe in my faith that I love her if I stop showing her? How long will that last? Why is there any different in our walk with God? If we're going to confess to this world that Jesus Christ is our Lord and He is God and He alone, and we love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might, all of our mind, all of our strength, all of our body, if we're professing to them that we love Him, He's everything to us, that we are Christians and we walk in the faith, how long will they believe in that if we never show works that substantiate and back up what we believe? It's time for the church to go to work. It's time to get up and break out. Get rid of your intimidation. Get rid of your shyness. Get rid of all that junk that the devil has put on you, and go to work for the kingdom of God, and watch what God will do. I'm closing. Just a couple more minutes. Be seated. A couple more minutes and I'm done. I'm telling you, our minds will be blown. Test God this week, Wanda. Test Him. Test God this week. Test Him. Don't have to be big. It can be small. God's going to show you. He'll show you. He'll speak to your heart. He'll prepare you because He's a good God. He'll prepare you. And Mary, to be honest with you, and this is a compliment, this is a compliment. I'm blown away there's not somebody sitting next to you that you found at the flea market or Walmart or waving a "We Buy Gold" sign on the corner. I'm blown away somebody's not sitting next to you. It's not difficult. Mary happens to be one of those that you say, "Well, I have a job too." I know. I'm talking about the kingdom. Talking about the kingdom. Hey, nothing big, nothing outrageous. Don't go run into the hospice and try to raise everybody down there. Aisle. And the Lord might do it. I'm just trying to help you along. But I promise you, there's something you can do. That when you're in faith. Now remember, works without faith is self-righteousness. So if you just step out and do something because you just think you're hot. That's what some people think. Like it's in the tip of your finger or something. No, it's in your faith in Jesus Christ that He's the healer, the deliverer, the lover of souls. Whew. Wow, I tell you, no wonder this is going to take a year, because all these things that are going through my mind. We want results, but we don't want to go to work. We want our faith alone to produce the results. We want to believe God, and that's it. And that's going to produce the results. But God says, no, faith alone is dead. What gives power to your faith is your actions. Listen to Pastor. God is not going to let you down. The moment you move, He's just waiting. He's just waiting. Lord, save my husband. 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 Sister Jarrett. Right? I keep getting you and your sister mixed up, but Sister Jarrett. Brother Jarrett, I'm not putting you on the spot. But we prayed for you a long time. Long time. But I promise you. See, I can already tell I'm going to get another phone call today. I'm picking, by the way, on my preaching, but here we go. I promise you that Sister Jared didn't save that man by nagging. And by not being. Now, Brother Jared, if I'm wrong, don't tell me. Because it'd be dangerous for both of us. And she didn't get him in the church by not being what a Christian woman should be. That's how she got him in. By living the life. And anyone that knows that woman knows I'm telling the truth. She's one of our prayer warriors. Now, I know that we don't live in a perfect world, so I don't have time to explain away all the variables of life. Bottom line is this. It works. Now, what God does and does not want to do, that's God's business. That's not for me and you to try to figure out. Our job is in the faith and in the power to step out and to touch. I'm just going to barely touch on this, and then we're going to close. Let's stand. There's no way I can start this. I'm almost to my point. Lord helps us next Sunday. I hope this is okay. And what you're going to find is that Pastor's not going to be very evangelistic this year. I'm going to bring in some revivalist preachers that will take a break and you'll get evangelist sermons. I'm going to preach the finest evangelists that walk on planet Earth to this church, wherever my preachers are, and we'll have a reaping. The pastor's going to pastor because we have to transform who and what we are. And that can only come through teaching. So you're going to get a lot of teaching this year. So bear with it. I'll try to make it exciting. But I promise you, it'll change our lives if we let God change our lives. Let's give God praise. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word. 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 Amen. Reach over. Put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder. I got in the habit of saying, put your hand on shoulders instead of holding hands, because all of my nurses come up to me and let me know that it's not healthy to have 500 people hold hands across congregations, 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 congregations,